with me, and let's go over to the book of Galatians, chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Paul is writing here in Galatians chapter 2. I want you to just go to verse 20 there. And Paul writes, he says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, what Paul is here, he's trying to get across some things to us. And one of the things he says is he said, the old man is dead. I've been crucified with Christ. Who I used to be was crucified when Christ was crucified. Think about that one for a minute. When he died on the cross, he took upon himself your sin. Think about that. He gave you new life. You were a new created being when you accept the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I was crucified. That old man is dead. And then he goes on, you know, and basically what he's saying, I don't live like I used to. I watch and I see people that call themselves Christians, people that say they love the Lord. But then I look and I don't see a change in lifestyle. I don't see them pressing more toward God than they did before. I don't see them walking away from the old man and letting the new man reign in their life. You see, and that's what we have to do. It's up to us. You were created, you became a new creature when you accepted Jesus Christ into your life. A new creature. But this fleshly body did not change. Your spirit man was made new. You became a new person on the inside, but the outside, the fleshly body is still there, and we have to deal with that. So when Paul says the life that I now live in the flesh, notice that. Hey, Paul dealt with his flesh. You read through all through the New Testament when he dealt with his flesh, issues with his flesh. He said, the life I'm now living in the flesh, I'm living it by faith in the Son of God. You know what he said? He said, I'm having to walk this thing out by faith. I'm not perfect. I still make mistakes, but I use my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to get me through this life. See, church, if we don't have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if we don't have faith in His Word, we won't get through this life. We need the Lord Jesus Christ in our life more now than we ever have. We need His Word more now than we ever have. There are crazier things going on in the world right now than have ever been. Amen. Now, it could have been that crazy back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know. But I wasn't back there. But it's the craziest things that I've seen in my 62, coming up on 63 years of life. And so there's some stuff going on. Paul says, you know, he says, I'm alive because Christ is in me. But I'm still going to make mistakes because of my flesh. And he said, the only way I can stay on track is through faith in the Son of God. And that's what keeps us on track. Faith in Jesus. Notice he says faith in the Son of God. Faith in Jesus is believing in His death, burial, and resurrection. Okay? But it's also believing His Word. Jesus was the Word made flesh. So we not only do we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in His Word. You see, there is this hyper grace kind of movement type thing going on in the land. And they what they say basically is that once we get saved, we can just live our lives however we feel is right. And I mean, it's gaining ground because so many people want to try to believe that. You know, has anybody ever heard, well, now you don't have to go to church to be a Christian? Come on. You hear it all the time from people that don't want to go to church. And part of this hyper grace thing is the fact that now you don't need to go to church to serve Jesus. Well, can I just bunk that right now? Just give you a little scripture. And let's just debunk that. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I want to show you something. 10:23. Let's jump to 23. It says, now listen, let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he's faithful that promised. Well, see, that's good. We're holding fast our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look what he says. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, if it's you don't have to go to church, why would Paul say we need to even exhort one another, encourage one another to go? Well, you see, if we just stopped right there, we'd be scratching our head a little bit. But Paul kind of goes on in here and puts us in a peculiar place that a lot of times preachers are afraid to touch and people don't want to hear. But notice he didn't stop there. The next verse, 26, begins with a four. How many knows four is a conjunction there? He's connecting 25 and 26. So much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You see, they like to come out and say, you know, well, you don't have to go to church, but Paul says it's necessary for us to go to church. We shouldn't forsake the assembling ourselves together. And then he implicates, and I believe that you'll have to agree with me, that it's sinful to know to go to church and not do it. Now, you can get mad about that if you want to, but God wrote it. Paul wrote it. You can't get mad at me. I'm just pointing it out to you. I just want to show you what a dangerous thing is, how lightly the church takes attending church. Believers don't act like they don't have to come and shouldn't come and don't need to come. But Paul says it's so important that you could end up being willfully sinning by not coming. Right? Look what he says. He says, when you don't do what God said because you became part of the covenant when you got born again, if you don't attend church, if you're not gathering up to worship Him, then you are tramping on the very covenant that He made with you through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it says, right? And then goes on and it says, you've done despite to the Spirit of grace. Thank God for grace. Grace is there to make sure that you have space to repent when you mess up. Now, you don't have to sin, but when you do, I'll read you some scriptures in a minute to show you what the Word of God says. See, this hyper grace thing, so they get into the thing that they say, you know, if you're born again, you're now under grace, and you're not accountable for sin anymore because that was gone with the blood of Jesus. And it is true, Jesus' blood washed away our sin. We accept Jesus as our Lord for doing that, and we are in the body of Christ. But just because He washed away our sin does not mean you cannot sin. Because you still can. You don't have to. There's that other side of the coin where people say, well, I'll just tell you now, you're going to sin every day. You don't have to sin every day. Come on, you can be righteous consciousness and have that consciousness that I'm not sinning today because I'm righteous and I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm not going to get into anything to sin today. Right? See, understand this. It's choices that we make because this flesh is still pulling toward sin because it's natural. And it's pulling toward those things. But your spirit man on the inside, he's king. Because you're a spirit that has a soul and lives in a body. Come on now. And so what we have to do is we have to understand our spirit man's in control, not our flesh. Amen. In everything. Now, a lot of times we let the flesh take over. I'm guilty. You say, well, what have you done? Look at my belly. Now, you're laughing, but that is simply allowing my flesh to override my spirit. You can get mad at me. You know, I mean, there ain't nothing wrong with a little piece of cake. But there's something bad wrong when you just kind of split it down the middle. Right? This is mine. You can do what you want. Come on. And the Holy Spirit the whole time will say, now you know better than that. Oh, come on, I'll tell off on me. You all never do any kind of thing like that. Brother Rick's repenting right now. It's true. It's true. Right? See, that's allowing our flesh to override our spirit. And see, it can get over into lustful things and all that stuff. But I'm just showing you that we should let our spirit man be king. And if we'll let our spirit man be king, we won't have to end up worrying about being over into sin, because he'll keep you on the right track. So Paul's saying, I'm living my life by faith in the Son of God. I'm staying on track. I'm making sure that I do what the Word says. See, living our life, folks, for Jesus Christ is doing what the Word says. That's the only way I know how to live for Him, is by what His Word says. But you see, there are those that, you know, in this thing, that'll say, you know, well, yeah, I'm just going to tell you something. The Bible is an obsolete book now, and it is so full of legalistic stuff, and it's so judgmental and stuff, that's not the way God wants us to live, because we're under grace now, we're free. Can I tell you something? We are under grace. Whom the Son says free is free indeed. But here's the thing, folks. If you take a river, now that river is awesome, because the Bible even talks about being planted by the river, the trees, how they flourish and things. The river is awesome because it carries water all throughout our farmlands and that, and makes sure that it can draw from that. It's awesome. It does great things. It's free to just flow. But when the river gets out of its banks, then it begins to destroy everything that it's supposed to be nourishing. Come on, we have a lot of floods around here. Well, you know what I'm talking about. You see, grace is awesome. Grace is there for us. God gave us grace. But here's the thing, when you let it get out of the banks, now all of a sudden lives are getting destroyed, because people are just doing anything they want to. People are watching people do anything they want to. And here's the worst part about it. People are teaching people that you can do whatever you want to. Oh, Pastor Mike, you're just trying to put us under bondage again. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. No, you're not under the law, but you're under the New Testament. And so you can throw the old way if you want to, but live by the New Testament. And you'll find out that the New Testament tells you to be holy even as He's holy. It tells you to live a righteous life and a righteous lifestyle. Even though you've been made righteous by the blood of Jesus Christ, you still have to live that right lifestyle. But you see, that's not what they want to hear, because they want to be able to do what they want to and say what they want to and believe what they want to and think they're still going to be all right. We have to believe what the Word of God says. It's believing in Jesus, right? Living your life by faith in the Son of God is believing in Jesus and believing in His Word and not forsaking ourselves because they say you don't have to go to church. We have to realize that we're in a place that we live in this world, but we're not of this world. And once we became a new creature, then we have to make sure that we're guarding our lives. And I know somebody's probably saying, well, you're trying to put us under works. No, I'm just trying to get you to obey the Word of God. Amen. See, that's all we got to do is obey the Word of God. But you get people that says, well, you know, I mean, since I can't sin, I don't need the Word of God anyway. Can I show you something just to kind of debunk that too? Go with me over to 1 John. 1 John. And let's look here at just verse 1. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, of the life, for the life was manifest, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested in us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if you walk in the light, as He's in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Can I just stop there just a second? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. See, that Satan is the liar and the father of lies. Only one person walked on this earth sinless. His name is Jesus Christ. And He's the one person that can forgive sin. Let me read on. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice that if we confess it, well, you know, if you don't even think you sinned, then there ain't nothing to confess. Even if you have, because you believe you can't, then you're going to get yourself in a mess. Because no sin's going to enter into heaven. I don't want to get down into this too much, but I'm trying to show you. He says, if we say that we've not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word's not in us. Verse chapter 2. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Now, let me just stop right there. Who did He just say? My little children. He's talking to believers here. See, some of these folks try to, oh, He wasn't talking to the church folks. He was talking to sinners. Was the sinners His little children? I wouldn't think He'd refer to them as His little children. He says, my little children, these things are right unto you, that you sin not. In other words, don't sin. He says, and if any man sins, if you do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Notice that. He says, you can sin. If you do sin, ask for forgiveness, and God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Isn't that awesome? If you don't think you can sin, if you say you don't sin, can't sin, whatever, then you're already in error. Come on. There are sins of commission and then there are sins of omission. There are things that we do sometimes that are sin. And there's some things that we should do that we don't do that are sin. See, you got real quiet on me. He just said if you don't go to church that you could get yourself in trouble, right? Come on now. See, I hear a lot of times, and I understand the heart of it, but I hear a lot of times, you know, I'm all in. This is it. I'm going to follow Jesus with all my heart. I'm all in. You know, I love Him so much that I want everything He's got. I'm all in, you know. But I would have to see your tithing record to see if you're all in. Don't get mad at me now. See, because you can be all in here, and partially here, but if you're all in, you're physically there too. Come on, in every area is all in. Don't get mad at me now, because I just want to show you that as an example, because I know I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm all in, man, whatever, we're going, and I know they don't give a dime. And I have to sit there and say, what? You're all in? So you're looking at me funny again. To be all in means to be all in. Come on. I shouldn't probably, but I will. We're getting ready to go into a new year, see, and so I'm trying to get us make some course corrections as we go into 2024. To be all in means when you signed the book on this church, you said, I want to be a member of fellowship, and I will be there to help. And I will show up in attendance. Come on. Now, y'all are great. Many of you are just, you help, but not always. Right? Sometimes we can say we're going to do this, we're going to do that, and, you know, half the church clears out and a few stays. Now, I know this is not popular, and if you get mad at me, you just have to get mad at me, but the truth is the truth. This is your church. Come on. When we have a dinner, a lot of folks, they don't participate. It's your church. Participate. Get involved. If you're all in, be all in. It's really quiet. I'm telling the truth, right? Can anybody say, I'm not telling the truth? You've seen it happen. You know it happens. We're coming up on 26 years. And I have people all the time coming up and say, I'm all in. Whatever you need, just let me know. And I ain't seen them in a long time. So I can't get excited when somebody comes up. I'm thankful for it. But I can't get real excited until after I see the fruit of I'm in. Right? I see them actively working for the Lord Jesus Christ and being taken part. So we have to understand that we have to be careful that we're not omitting things. You know, maybe we might not be committing things, but we may be omitting things to where we're not all in, or we're not really where we need to be, because, you know, we've decided that as long as we just get our name on the book. Can I tell you this too? I mentioned tithing, but I'll just say this. It's another thing too if you just tithe and you want somebody else to do all the work. Come on now. See, I get one or two. It's mess. There are folks that want to just give, but they don't want to get involved. You need to get involved. It's your church. It's you're part of the body of Christ. It's your body. And we're members in particular with New Generation Church, but it's important for us to get involved in fellowship. Some folks never develop any relationships inside a church because they don't stick around long enough to develop one. Amen. So we have to learn that when it comes to serving God and living the life by faith of the Son of God, that we do the things that He says to do and take part of His house and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We work together on these things. He says here that we have to do what the Word says, and if we mess up, we ask Him to forgive us, and He forgives us. Now, here's the thing, though. A believer cannot continue to disobey the Word and live for Jesus according to the Bible. You cannot continue in sin, continue going against the Word, and believe in Jesus. Amen. I know that's not real popular, but it's there. I can't understand how anybody who says they love Jesus and have a relationship with Him would not want to do what the Word says. Isn't that right? Come on now. We say we love Jesus. We say we have a relationship with Him, but then we don't do what the Word says. I talked about Wednesday night. Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say to do?" You and I need to make sure, as we're going into this new year, we're coming up, we'll talk some tonight, but we're going into a new year. And people make resolutions are kind of like armpits. Everybody's got one, and most of them stink, right? Come on. Thank God for some deodorant. Amen. People make all kinds. This shouldn't be a resolution. This ought to be a change of mind, a change of heart, a place to the word repent. Means to turn and go a different direction. And if this going into this year, we need to repent about the things that we've been missing out on, not doing, and say, Lord, I'll do those things. And I'll get involved. And I'll do my part because I do want to be all in. Amen. I know this is not popular, but yet again, we're kind of redirecting, trying to get ourselves to understand that if we're going to say that we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to say that we believe He's the Son of God and that we're born again, then we ought to want to do what He says to do. We ought to want to live that life He says for us to live. Come on, the reason we got saved is because we didn't like the life we were in, right? Come on, I didn't like where I was at. I wasn't a bad person, but I was a sinner. I was on my way to hell. Thank God I'm on my way to heaven now. And since He saved me so I could go to heaven, it'd only be the right thing for me to do is to follow in His footsteps. To do what He says to do. To read His Word and let His Word guide me. Get myself involved. Amen. A lot of folks don't want to get in. You know, it's amazing to me though. A lot of folks won't get involved. I'm going to make somebody mad here, but that's all right. I do that a lot. It's amazing to me how many people won't get involved with church activities, but let the school throw something up. Let a sports event come up. Sports activity. Throw a Halloween dance downtown. See how many Christians standing around that don't help their church, but they're down there. Supporting that. If that's what they want to do, that's fine. I'm just telling you that if we can, you know, come on. Set out in a football stadium and it's snowing on you? Watching a bunch of guys you don't know throw a ball around on a field that don't mean nothing whether they win or lose to you? God, I'm going to do that. I'll stand in line to get to do that. Don't get mad at me. Stand in line, midnight madness. You know, I got to get into Rupp Arena. I got to watch this basketball team. Won't you come to church? I can't set up late. I go to bed early. You liar. Don't get mad at me. That's the truth. Folks say they can't set up late, but get them watching something on Netflix and see how late they set up. I had no idea this message was going to go this way. But I'm just trying to get us, again, a little course correction here so that we start seeing what's most important. I'm going to tell you something, folks. When Jesus comes, Netflix won't save you. When Jesus comes, the cats won't save you. When Jesus comes, the Browns won't save you, even though they're doing good this year. For a change. That's the only reason I mention that is because that's my pastor's team. Whether win or lose, he's diehard Brown. I couldn't tell you a thing about football other than what I've heard from somebody else. True story. When I get around other pastors, they start talking sports. I just have to sit there and watch them and listen to them. Now, if we get over on fishing, we can talk some then, you know. I told Pastor John one time that when we was doing, you know, with IMO missions, once a year we have our conference, and they always have golf and tournaments, and they have this thing and that thing. I looked at him and said, when are you going to start having a fishing tournament? I'm in it. I knew I could whip up on them fishing tournaments. I can't play golf, and I don't watch sports. I watch fishing, and I watch hunting. Had to make your life a little bit. You was mad at me. I could tell you was mad at me because of what I've been saying, but it's true, right? We have to have the Word. If we're believers, we should want the Word. Look here in Proverbs chapter 4. I'll hurry. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Solomon, the smartest man in the world, the wisest man in the world, says this. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life to those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Notice that. What is? The words of God are life and health. We wonder sometimes why we're sick. I think I have a clue. I put a we in there. I think I have a clue. We're not letting the Word of God inoculate us from sickness and disease. Come on. We're going and going and going until we do get sick, and then we start calling on the Word. Thank God you do. But what happens if you have that Word of healing already in your body? Come on now. People go take a flu shot before flu season comes. They're making you take COVID shots before you can do this or that on the expectation that it might happen. And there's always the flip side of that that says that it might not happen. Why in the world would we not want to get a vaccine of the Word. Did you hear me? Against all sickness and disease. Even the ones men make up. Come on. You know it's true. You can deny it all you want to, but that young man who stood up here was a victim of what people had tried to do to destroy the United States and destroy the world. But greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. Come on, church. So you need to have that word, that input of that word, health and healing and life into you. So when the enemy does come, and he will, he'll always try to come at you. If he came after Jesus, he'll come after you. But you need to be ready to do what Jesus did. What did Jesus do? It is written. He spoke out the word. So here's Solomon saying, listen, you need to get these words. Basically what he's saying, you need to listen to me and memorize what I say. You need to listen to the word, read the word, and memorize the word, and then it will be life to you and health to all your flesh. Amen. I love what John G. Lake said one time. John G. Lake, and I've talked about this maybe a long time ago, but John G. Lake was one of the great men of God back in the day, and the bubonic plague broke out. And it was in that he was in the town there where it was at, and people were just dying in their homes. They were foaming out the mouths and that kind of thing and stuff. And so he's there and he's helping get people out of their houses, dead people out of their houses, and bringing them out on the streets so they can take them and bury them and all of that. And the people come in, the CDC or whatever they were at that time, you know, the people that's supposed to know this stuff. They come in with their suits on and all that stuff, and there he is carrying dead bodies out that have died of the bubonic plague. And they looked at him and they said, "Why are you not dead?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "This thing should have killed you too. You don't have any kind of protection on you." He looked at him and he said, "I figure if you got enough God in you, there ain't nothing else can get in there." Now that was a bold statement, you know. But that wasn't bold enough for him. They said, "Oh, you'll die from that." He said, no, let me show you. And he said, "You get some of that foam off of one of them, off their mouth." He said, "Has that got the disease?" "Oh, yes, that's got the disease in it." He said, "You go get you some foam out of one of their mouths. Get you a microscope and I'll show you God." And so they got the foam out and they put it in one of those little dishes and put it under a microscope. And John said this. He said, "Here's the power of God." And he stuck his finger inside that plague, that virus, or whatever. And it just died in the dish. And they were just blown away. He said, "I told you, if God's in you, something else can't get." So see, that's where you and I need to be as we're moving forward, as we're turning this curve, as we're changing direction to go here into a new year. As we get closer to the Lord, the only way you do that is getting closer to His Word, learning more about His Word. And the benefits of that, according to Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, is life and health. Think about that for a minute. Now, he'd been around a while and he knew what was going on. But he said it's life and health. But then let's read on a little bit. Then he goes on and he says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." In other words, he said, guard your heart and make sure you keep your heart right toward God, because that's where you make your decisions. That's where things come to pass in your life, is through your heart, through your spirit man, through your thinking process and everything that's God in you coming out of you, that'll determine the direction of your life. If it's not God coming out of you, we were just kidding this morning. Rachel was saying some things, and I said, you know, she'd said something, a lot of what she said when she opened up. But I said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Because she said, you just open up. And she said, "Well, I might not be able." I said, "You just say what's in your heart." See, because if God's in your heart, God's going to come out of your mouth. Come on, if you're living for God, then the directions you go, you're going to want to go that way for God. Amen. I mean, it's just that way, right? Come on. Kids try to be like their parents. We're God's kids. We ought to be wanting to be like our daddy. We ought to want to follow him in his footsteps, letting Jesus, our elder brother, lead the way. Okay? Living life. Let me read this the way I wrote it. Living the life of faith in the Son of God means we don't live like the others do. See, a lot of folks will look and say, I don't see anything wrong with that. Well, there ain't nothing wrong with that. Well, maybe not to you, but it is to me. Maybe not to them, but it is to you. See, because you're a person from a different kingdom than they are. You have a different mind than they do. Because you have the mind of Christ, they have the mind of the world. And so they can't see, they can't spiritually discern things. So when somebody in the world says, well, I don't see anything wrong with it, you just have to let that go because they can't spiritually discern what is wrong. Because they don't know the truth. The truth has never set them free, but you have the mind of Christ. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things, the Bible says. So you know the direction that you have to take. You know the things you have to do no matter what the world is saying. You just stay with the Word. Keep living that life that's going to keep you on the right track and on the right path. Remember, Paul warned and he said, you know, I don't want you to do like the Gentiles do who, they, in the vanity of their mind, they do anything they want to. You've got Christ in your life and you can't live that life. And so we can't live that life. We can't live like the world. We got to live like God tells us to live through His words. Now, the Bible says that the God of this world, talking about Satan, he has blinded people's eyes so that they wouldn't see the truth. We have to make up our mind whether we want to see the truth or not. Because you can show people the truth and they won't receive it. I've given you truth this morning. It'll be up to you whether or not you receive it. Whether you walk in it or whether you just kind of turn a deaf ear to it. Have I ever done that? Sure, I have. That's why I can tell you that you can do it. But I'm finding out more and more that as I push toward God, push toward His Word and the will of God, I'm finding that God reveals it. Now, here's the thing about God sometimes. God doesn't always reveal everything all at once. But a lot of times He gives us bits and pieces, but He'll keep us on the right track. And when we understand that I'm pushing into God, I'm keeping my life to where I'm doing what the Word says, and I'm honoring God and doing what He says, you'll find out that you're right in the middle of where you need to be. Right in the middle of the perfect will of God. And right in the middle of where the blessings can flow. I want to be where blessings flow, don't you? I want to be where God is pleased with me and I'm here available for Him. When He says go, I go. And when He says do, I do. No matter what He wants me to do. Good or bad. And when I say good or bad, I mean that's something I want to do or something. Anybody have God tell you to do something you didn't want to do? Many times, you know. But you do it anyway and God rewards you and blesses you for that. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. We're getting ready to go into another year. We're going to live our life in the flesh by faith in the Son of God. Because we know Jesus Christ is in the inside of us and we have His Word so we can't fail that way. Amen. Stand to your feet with me.